Well, good morning. I'm Daniel, one of the pastors here, as Alan mentioned. And I want to say, going along with Greg, what Greg said this morning, this past week was part of a one-year Bible plan. The beginning of the year, Jenny, my wife, pray for her. She's not feeling well today. But she started this one-year Bible plan, invited people who were friends on the Bible app. And some of us have been reading through chronologically this year and making comments. And we've been in the Psalms a lot. And over it says, praise the Lord. And one of the things that struck me this past week, looking at that and the command to praise the Lord, words came to me from a singer-songwriter who still gets mentioned here a lot. He passed away over 20 years ago. His name's Rich Mullins. He's from Indiana. And as he was getting started out, he wrote this song for Amy Grant called Sing Your Praise to the Lord. And in commenting about it, one of the things he said is, sing your praise to the Lord. That is one of the commands of God, and it is so easy to do. And he says, I figure if I do that, it's at least a start. It's a lot easier than the more complicated theological knots like loving your neighbor as yourself. I was just thinking, that is something that we can do that God wants us to do, something that can really be helpful. So I echo what Greg said, and it's helpful to praise the Lord. It's out of obedience. There's just something really great that happens when we worship the Lord. So we're going to do a quick recap here. Thousands of years ago, in the ancient Middle East, the Lord appeared to a man named Abram. And the conversation that they had is really pivotal. It affects us now way more than we're aware of. It's affected the whole world. Again, this was set in motion thousands of years ago with Abram, and the Lord appeared. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 tells us this. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we're doing this five-week series called BLESS. And we're using BLESS as this acronym. It's to help us remember, because we're looking at practical ways that we can bless other people. If you would like to be blessed, go ahead and raise your hand, right? It's a super cheesy question. Yeah, we're doing some participation here. We all want to be blessed. That's something that we all have in common. And every now and then I'll bring up one of my memories from going to a different type of church where the pastor went out and was talking about forget not the Lord's benefits and throwing out blessings, and some of the blessings would be golf clubs, and they were invisible. So who wants golf clubs this morning? Anybody? Some people. Sorry, I can't do that. But there is a blessing. It may not be material. It may not be something where we can just invisibly throw something material out, money, vacations, or whatever. But I think that there is a blessing, and that's our hope and prayer today, that today is a blessing. So last week, we mainly introduced the importance of blessing other people and the plan that God had way back from the beginning that he revealed to Abram. And it was fulfilled through Jesus, and all the people who follow Jesus are part of this fulfillment, as we're the hands and feet of Christ, trying to be a blessing to all peoples on the earth. And as we do this, again, we're thinking, because we want to bless people, but sometimes we're just not sure if we can. We're not sure how we do it. So we're going to go with some practical ideas. These ideas obviously aren't exhaustive. There are tons of ways to bless people. But this is a way, these few ways are good ways that we can implement, and we'll see what the Lord does with this. So last week, we, again, started mostly with blessing, and we started with the B, which is begin with prayer. Praying for people is a great way to bless people. And as we pray for people, the other thing that happens is that we become more aware of what God is doing in other people's lives. Because we believe that God doesn't want us just to pray for other people to be blessed, but God wants to use us to be answers to that prayer often. So as we pray for other people, we're more aware of them, maybe more aware of their needs, and more see some of those opportunities to bless. This week, we're sliding to the L. and that is listen. Listen. So, how many of you have heard of CDs? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of CDs. All right. So this is going to be a little awkward because CD players are not good anymore, and I don't know how we're doing on the internet and how well the camera will cover this. But I remember back several years ago, I was excited. I bought a CD called Can You Hear Us by David Crowder Band. I opened up the CD, and I don't know if you can see it. Can You Hear Us? And I put it into my CD player. I still remember how to do it. Unbelievable. All right, this takes a little while to load up, so I'm going to play it. And I'll tell you what I heard blew me away. Play. Let's see if we start getting any music. It worked. Okay, you hear that? Anybody hear it? Okay, I'll put it in my mic. It was a lot different than what I was expecting. It didn't quite sound like David Crowder. I'm going to fast forward it. And it was a woman singing instead of a man. I won't go through all the tracks, but the more that I listened, it was very clear that even though the case said David Crowder, even though the actual CD sticker said David Crowder, I'm going to pull this out so you can investigate me to see if I'm lying. The music was not David Crowder. It was a woman singing, and it was a different type of music. And as I listened to that, I thought about taking it back to the store, but then I thought, you know what? I'm a pastor. I'll be able to use this as an illustration, even 15 years into the future. Honestly, how awesome is that? A CD called Can You Hear Us? When you play it, you can't hear it. You can't hear them. So again, too perfect of an illustration. Come check me out if you think I'm lying about this. Some sort of a, maybe God was involved in the factory mishap that happened. So thinking about that, because that's the contention that a lot of people are talking and sometimes they can't be heard. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the importance of listening. Thank you, Alan. You could read me. In a 2019 Gallup poll, we got some really curious results. It said that 79%, thank you so much, 79% of people who don't go to church, they may not be affiliated with the church, they may seem like they're irreligious, but they're willing to talk about their faith. And out of those, nearly 4 in 5 people who are willing to talk about faith, willing to hear about Jesus and the church and all that, a lot of those people are even curious about Jesus. They're curious about Christianity, and they want to know. It's about a quarter of the mainstream. If it's somebody in their 20s or 30s, that number goes well up into the mid-30s. It jumps up another 10%. So there's a lot of people out there, and they may not go to church, but they're interested in having a conversation about God, about Jesus, and there are even some of them that want to talk about Christ. They want to hear about it. So in a similar poll, Gallup, I think, is more of a mainstream group. Now there's Barna, and Barna is more targeted towards churches. So Barna played off this survey, and they asked people, what would you value in a person who you would talk to about faith? So they were talking to people who don't say they're Christians, aren't part of church. What kind of person would you talk to about faith? Any guesses on what the number one answer? Because there was a number one answer that stood out. Guess? Great answer, whoever said that. I didn't listen well enough to hear who it was. Raise your hand. Okay, Lori, thank you. Someone who listens, and there's a little caveat that we'll add too. Someone who listens without... You guys got it. Amazing. Someone who listens without judgment. Now, so the vast majority of people said, I will talk to somebody about Jesus, Christianity, faith, spirituality, if I had the chance to talk with someone who would listen without judgment. Sadly, 2/3 of those people said they had no one in their lives who they thought would listen without judgment. No one. So as we kind of wrestle with this and think, what does that mean? As we have, as a church, we're looking at many people who grew up in a church who are in the process of leaving or maybe have left. And part of the reason is because they have these things that they see are inconsistent. Maybe they heard some things as a kid and they thought, that's not right. That doesn't fit with the Bible, or that doesn't fit with my experience. And they have these questions and they don't feel like there's anybody that they can talk to. So there's this temptation too. Is the whole thing not good? What do I do with these questions that I have? And there are terms to describe people who are doing this today. Deconstruction is used a lot. It's got a lot of baggage, so I want to be careful with that term. But we have a family and marriage group, Connect group, on Sunday mornings. And one of our members, Maggie, brought forth a term that I think is really good, and that's disentangling. So a lot of times when we're talking and we need somebody to listen, we're trying to disentangle. Like we're wrestling through with, hey, you know, like I learned this, I don't know about this. But it's an acknowledgement that just because there are maybe parts of the version of Christianity that we grew up with that we're not sure about anymore, doesn't mean we have to throw the whole thing out. And again, there are just people all around who maybe just need somebody to talk to. I had a friend, and my friend told me that what he learned in church was, as long as you don't cuss, drink, smoke, have sex outside of marriage, you can be as mean to everybody else and as judgmental to everybody else as you want to, and there's no big deal. It's like, I knew the church he was talking about, and I got why he thought that. And it's like he's rejected that version of Christianity, which I think is great. Yeah, that's how Christianity is. Fantastic. But just because, again, you reject a portion of it or a version doesn't mean, because if it gets tangled with something, doesn't mean the whole thing goes out. Can you hear us? This morning as I was preparing and I put my son Caleb in a bad position because I've changed a lot of the sermon. I've taken a few of the slides out. So if you're following along on the Bible app, sorry, Caleb, he's shaking his fist at me. There are changes made this morning, so it's different than what I planned. But this song came to me. So yeah, Greg, so go easy on him today. It's my fault today. A song called Does Anybody Hear Her by Casting Crowns. It was, again, kind of that era of Can You Hear Us? And the words, so I wrote down the words. And it's about this idea of somebody coming into church and having a lot of baggage and not feeling safe and not feeling heard. If judgment looms under every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people who can't see past her scarlet letter and we never even met her, does anybody hear her? Does anybody see? Does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people, searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? And I think that that's really, if you're a part of the church, it's something to really be aware of, that there are people coming through who've gone through all kinds of things that we can't even imagine. There's some people who have had some really bad church experiences or with religious people or whatever. And just to be aware of that, there's some people who are really suffering. Some people who are going through some terrible things. And it's a miracle that they showed up today, but they're here. And what they need probably is not our judgment, but to be heard and seen. So we want to be that church that gives people a safe space, an opportunity to be seen, to be heard, to have somebody listen without judgment. We're trying to figure out how to do that. Our staff has been having those conversations. So we really hope to be that place for people. So thinking about the L, listen. Jesus' brother James gave us such great words of wisdom. They come up so often here because I think they're gold. But James 1, 19 through 20 says this. Nice job, Caleb. I skipped a ton of slides there. He did great. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And I feel, honestly, I feel a little bit hypocritical, because what am I doing now? Am I listening or am I talking? Right? I'm talking right now. But everyone should be quick to listen. Could you imagine that? If everyone were quick to listen. Do you know someone who's quick to listen? Slow to speak and slow to become angry. And again, I think that that's part of the difficulties with sometimes people who are going through a process where sorting through beliefs, disentangling, because maybe they'll say something and then the reaction is a quick response or quick reaction and judgment or anger even. Well, I don't know about this. And if anger is the response, does that convey safety or not? What do you think? Like if you're kind of nervous about saying something and you say it and somebody gets angry, do you feel safe to keep speaking? I mean, I know I don't, but maybe some of you do. But thinking about, like, what is it? How can it be a safe space? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So we're talking about righteousness, and listening to everything isn't the same as affirming everything. Listening isn't the same of approving everything. But what we're talking about today is listening. In his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, author Stephen Covey wrote about the seven habits, or maybe principles, of effective people. And one of those is so related to James, and it's this: seek first to understand and then be understood. Seek first to understand and then be understood. Do you think that listening is the same thing as not speaking while someone else is talking? No. Take, for example, are you getting worried now? I'm looking, scanning the crowd. Who's playing on their phone right now? No. Take, for example, me, when I was 14 years old, the same age as my kids. Back then, when I was 14, we had something called magazines. Google it if you don't know what magazines are. And the magazine that I brought into church was Sports Illustrated. Now, that one's still around. I think it's all online now. Maybe they still have hard copies. I don't even know. But so every week, pretty much, when I was 14, our church was in the process of building, and we were in a YMCA, which is pretty cool because there's a pool and basketball courts. But during the service, I had my Sports Illustrated out. And I sat in the back, and I didn't say a word. You know what I did? I was looking down, trying to look like I was praying, maybe. I didn't say a word. I didn't want to bother anybody. I didn't say anything. Does that mean I was listening? No, absolutely not. So you see, my 14-year-old son is doing so much better of a job because we can see he's listening. So good job, Caleb. Yep. Good job, man. Way to go. So much better than my kids are so much better than I am, and I'm so grateful for that. So thinking about that, you know that too. Like, I'm not saying I'm a good listener all the time, because I'm not. There's the thing where somebody's talking and we're thinking about the response, right? Or just waiting to get our turn to talk and not really listening. But to really listen, that's something else. A lot of people, again, and I think it could not just people who are maybe leaving or who have left church or don't want anything to do with it, maybe people who are still firmly committed, but so many that just feel unheard or unseen, like there's no safe space to talk where you can say who you really are or say some things that you think that you're wrestling with. A few months ago, we talked about a story of a woman named Hagar. She was a runaway. We called her the outcast on her knees, as the song El Shaddai called her. But the Lord revealed himself to Hagar as the God who sees. Someone who felt so unseen and was in so many ways. Hagar, a person who put up with so much abuse and was just had so little power. But the Lord revealed himself to her as the God who sees. And I think another way that we could say that that would be fair too is that God is the God who hears. So whether it's seeing or hearing, we believe that the Lord sees and hears, that the Lord notices. And I think that that's really important for us, as because a lot of times Jesus, when he had people come in, he was quick to listen. So that's one reason for us to think about why we should be think about being quick to listen and not just quick to put our comment or the truth out there, you know, whatever we think our comments are, but to be people who are quick to listen. Because a lot of times, think about the kind of people you want to talk to. And I know you probably know the truth and have it down, and a lot of other people don't. But think about the kind of people that you want to talk to. If you unburden yourself or talk to somebody, and then they try to fix you, how do you feel? Or if they just give you their expertise, like how do you feel? Guilty of that, for sure. Jenny's online listening, and have mercy on me, okay? But there's something to be said sometimes just to really feel heard and not just have somebody show you their expertise or fix you or fix your issue or whatever. But there is just a time and place for that, and it's a lot of the time just to be heard. The Blessed Book. I want to go to the Blessed Book. It's a book that we're kind of using a little bit as the template. And the authors, Dave and John Ferguson, say, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Now, sometimes, a lot of bad days, a lot of us are wired. Maybe somebody comes in and gives us a gift, but what we really need is to be heard. And sometimes that is just such a great gift of love, just for somebody to hear us. Sometimes, again, like they say, it's almost indistinguishable, the difference between being heard and being loved, because that is a way that we can bless. That is a way that we can show love a lot of time, is to listen. A great theologian named Dallas Willard said this: the first act of love is always the giving of attention. Let's just think about that for a moment. Let that marinate. The first act of love is always the giving of attention. What is it that we're paying attention to? You know, and in an age of lots of screens, we need to ask, who is it that we're paying attention to? Or has a what replaced the who? Who is it that we're giving our attention to? What is it that we're giving our attention to? One thing that Jesus said several times that's worth hearing again. He stated at one place, is Matthew 11:15. He said it a few times though. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Matthew 11:15. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listening is affirmed. And in the book of Revelation, it's really interesting because Jesus shows up and he writes these letters to seven different congregations spread throughout Asia Minor. And to all of them, all seven, he says the same thing at the end. So it's all over Revelation. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever has ears, let them hear. As is often said, we have two ears, one mouth. And another popular one, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And one way to show that is by listening, the importance of listening. guy by the name of Martin Copenhaver wrote a book called Jesus is the Question. And in it, he observed that Jesus asked 307 questions. I don't know for sure that his count's right. I'll just trust him. Regardless, it's a lot. It's about 300, according to him. And out of those 307 questions that Jesus asked, Martin Copenhaver says that he only answered 3. So, in other words, about Jesus answered his questions about 1 in every 100 times. Isn't that really interesting? It is to me. So, this morning, what we want to do is we want to give everybody some space to listen. We just want to take a few moments and have that space where we just have some quiet time to ourselves where nobody's talking. And I want to invite you to just pray this prayer. It'll be, "Speak, God, I am listening." And if you're not a Christian, maybe you're an atheist or an agnostic, you feel free to pray this prayer too. Maybe if you have a different religious belief, feel free to pray this prayer too. If you're a Christian and you don't want to feel forced to pray this prayer, that's okay. Don't say this prayer with me. But we just want to give this quiet time and space to just invite the Lord, who speaks inaudibly, ways better than we can imagine, to us. Because the Holy Spirit has the ability to just point out things in our attention and speak to us what we need to hear in ways that nobody else could really know it. So again, I'm going to invite you, if you're willing, just pray after me. Speak, God, I am listening. God is a much better speaker than I am. God is even a much better speaker than Emily, as good as she is. God is a better speaker than Billy Graham or whatever pastor or speaker that you hear. And God may use what I say or Pastor Emily or Pastor Brandon. God may use something that Alan says today, one of our songs, one of the scriptures read. God might use a TV show that you watch later in the day to speak to you. Because that's the ability that the Lord has in his communication. He's not limited to the audible like we are. But whatever it is, I want to just really encourage you to listen and do what the Lord says. Do not merely, I think James said this too, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. So I dare you. I dare you, listen and do what the Lord says. Maybe the Lord's talking to you about following Jesus, and that's great. We celebrate with you, and I'm excited to say some people are stepping forward and being faithful in baptism, and I'm really proud of them. We're going to do a big party on May 21st because we're baptizing some that day, and we've got some later in June too. So we got baptisms to celebrate, so we party and celebrate with that. People faithful, listening to God, doing that, have a calling on their lives. Maybe if it's for sure listening to somebody, but however it is, I want to encourage you to listen to what the Word of God says and do it. So again, the challenge, let's go back to that challenge and bless. Begin to pray and listen. Again, and I want to reaffirm, if you need someone to listen to you, you can come up to these altars at any time. You can seek somebody out. Alan pointed out the prayer team. But that's what we're here for, is to listen and to pray for you. All right. If you listen to someone else, you know what's almost sure to happen? You're going to bless somebody else. Because there are people out there. They just need someone to listen. And maybe it could be you. People pay psychologists lots and lots of money to listen, to have somebody to listen to them. But you know what? That's something you can do for free, something we can do for free. And one psychologist can't listen to everybody. One pastor can't listen to everybody. Maybe that's part of why Jesus resurrected and ascended into heaven, so that everybody wouldn't just go to him, but instead left a church where were his hands and feet. So there are multiple people who should be listening and looking to bless. Whatever it is, we know that we are called to bless, and may we listen and obey. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We pray for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us those things that we do wrong. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, do wrong to us. Help us to be forgiving people. Lead us not into temptation. Help deliver us from evil. We know that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And we're asking that you speak to us. Help us to listen. Help us to love. And empower us to bless. Again, the glory is yours. In Jesus' name, amen.